We're doing in Tivot Shalom on Parashat Para. This week we'll read the special section about the red heifer. And one of the concepts of the red heifer is that it would purify those that were defiled and defile those that were purified.
B'sefer HaKadosh Be'er Ma'im Chaim Me'erich Lever Inyan Sefat HaPara Hamramezet Ka'idua Al Dinim.
In the holy work Be'er Ma'im Chaim, he clarified at length the idea that the burning of the red cow alludes to the idea of the different dinim, the different legal claims that lie against us. Bekdema amar ha-katuv, he began with the verse, Ki amarti olam chesed yibane. God says, kindness is what builds the world. Perush, shekol b'riyat olam yirak letov lechesed. Meaning, Hashem says, I created this world with one goal, that there be good and kindness. Ki miderech ha-tov le'etiv, because the way of that which is good, a person who is good, part of his nature is that he always wants to do good. And that's why Hashem created the world, to do good unto Hashem's creations. And if we see that in this world there is suffering, there are challenges, so then that too must be for good. As our sages taught, that one has a responsibility to bless over bad things the way he does over good things. And Rashi over there explains, what does it mean you make a blessing over the bad like the good? It means bisimcha, with the same happiness. And at first glance, you ask yourself, how could that be? That a person should be on such a level, he should be as happy over bad as he is over good. But this can be understood based on the following allegory. You have a person who has a dangerous illness. So a big doctor comes to cure him with an operation, and it's going to be very painful. Everyone knows that the doctor is there only to help him. And even though it's painful, he's saving his life with what he's doing. So even the guy who's in pain, he has great appreciation for the doctor. We had a guy here who practiced alternative medicine in Greece. And he once went out to an island, and he saw a man whose finger was gangrene. So he told him, you know, you have to amputate your finger. And the guy said, yeah, but the city where I could see a doctor is so far away, I'm never going to do it. You have to do it for me. So he said, I only studied alternative medicine. What do I know how to do? So he said, it's you or I die. So he said, fine, okay. So they got three big guys, and they gave him a lot of vodka to drink, and they tied him down to a chair. True story. I'm telling you the way he said it to me. They tied him down to a chair, and these big guys were holding him, and they tied his hand in place, and he didn't have anesthetics there. All he had was vodka for the guy. So they're giving the guy more and more vodka to drink, and he starts cutting off the finger. And the guy's yelling and shaking in the chair, And he's cutting and cutting slowly and slowly until finally he cuts off the whole finger. And the guy fainted out of pain. At some point, the guy literally knocked out from the pain. And he said to me, I had to do it, and I saved the guy's life. And I had to leave before he came back and I always wondered, how does he view me? You know, here he was in such pain. He said, a few months later, I was passing by the island, and he saw me, and he waves, and I see him waving with one finger less, and he's waving to me, and he says, oh, you saved my life, you saved my life. So you see, the guy is yelling, he's in pain, what can he do? But he knows that he's doing him the biggest favor in the world. Okay, so if a man has intelligence, you know who I'm talking about. If a man has intelligence, so then even if he's suffering and it hurts, he knows, hey, this guy's saving my life. But if you have a fool, so all he thinks about is what he feels this minute. So he has such hatred, he's so upset. That's how it works when Hashem shines kindness on us, which is the essence of creation. The kasher adam mitaveh mitgashem, when a person becomes more crass, when a person focuses on the physical, al yedei ze shememaleh tavotav u'magbir et chomriyuto, so then he makes himself into a more physical being, and then ve'ino yachol kabel et orach chesed anishpa elav. So then he's not on the level where he can tap into the kindness that's shining onto the world. V'areu b'sakana. So he's really in danger. L'mana chesed noten lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu yisurin. So then out of kindness, Hashem gives him afflictions. Ha'memarkim oto, shiuchal lekabel et hashpa'at orach chesed. That's what helps him. That's what helps him grow. That's what helps him be able to tap back into the light. That's what the verse says when it says, I said the world is a world of kindness to be built. That Hashem says, what I'm doing in this world is good. It's kindness. And even though things, sometimes there are challenges and there are things that are painful, if you could only see inside, you'd see that there's kindness there. To help a person be in tune, to help a person grow to the point where he could connect with the light from above. So this is the thoughts of the Be'er Mayim Chaim. The Netivot Shalom hasn't started talking yet. V'ochiach Sham, he's still quoting him, and he proved over there shebetz me'yisurim m'chesed gadol, that even the things that hurt stem from a great kindness. Karev kol tzaratam notzar. Hashem tells us in the prophets, I want you to know, whenever you suffer, I suffer too. It's as though Hashem says that I am afflicted because you're in pain. The Talmud tells us when a person of Israel is suffering, what's the Shechina saying at that time? Oh, my arm is hurting me. Oh, my head is hurting me. So to speak, Hashem says, we're connected. And even so, because he loves them so much, he's willing to suffer for their benefit. I'll give you a small example. The kids got a lot of mishloach manot, right? So they got a ton of sweets. So now, Abba, can I eat this? Abba, can I eat that? The night after Purim, I'm cleaning up vomit. The next day, I'm at the dentist. 2 days later, I'm at the dentist again. We've been at the dentist already 2 or 3 times this week. Because you eat enough toffees, you eat enough sweets, so this starts hurting, that starts hurting. You suddenly say, hey, I got a problem, right? Now comes the point, they come back from the dentist and they say, Abba, can I eat more of the mishloach manot? What are you going to say? No. So you want to say yes, you know, it's their sweets, why should you withhold it from them? But you know it's bad for them. So you say no, and they get all upset. And they're like, wait a second, I thought that was mine. Why aren't you letting me eat that? So you explain it to them, right? But they don't understand. And at the end of the day, we're all the same way. Sometimes there are things we want so badly, and we have a hard time hearing that that's not good for you. You know, that's going to hurt you in the long run. No, we have a hard time hearing that. How many times do people go to bed without brushing their teeth? And if a guy would stand there and tell him, go brush your teeth, buddy. Oh, I'm so tired. Do me a favor, tomorrow. No. Tonight's when you're going to start having cavities. Go brush your teeth. Is he there for me or against me? But we don't want to hear that. So then Hashem says, you know, I suffer with you. I could tell you that I've had times where I had to be rough with a student. Just 2 weeks ago, I sat with a kid, and the kid was abused. So we had to figure out what's going to be his game plan. And as much as you'd like to solve everything in life, sometimes you can't solve everything. Sometimes there are situations which you have to say, okay, practically what are we going to do here? So I sat down with him and I said, look, let's lay the facts out before us. Here are the facts, and here are the solutions we have. Which solution are we going to take? But as I'm saying it to him, I'm realizing I don't have a complete solution for him. There are situations where the government won't get involved. There are situations where the government says, it doesn't seem severe enough to us. What are you going to do? Throw the kid to foster care? There are situations where you really have nothing you can offer a kid, but to work with him and make the situation as best as possible. And I have to tell you, as I'm telling the kid this, I'm holding back tears. I had to leave the room to cry before I could continue talking to him. Why? Because here I am, I'm doing what's good for the kid. But you know what? It's painful. I'm hurting at least as much as he's hurting, maybe more. But sometimes when you're doing what's right for someone, you're hurting as much as the other person. The Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes gives us challenges, and you know what? He's hurting as much as us. I remember the first time I had to reprimand one of the kids really harshly. So I called my mother and I said, am I normal that I'm in pain beforehand and I'm in pain afterwards and the kid's already out there playing in the yard and I'm still suffering? So my mother said to me, you kidding? I would spend an afternoon crying after I yelled at you. You were already out playing, but I was all destroyed. Of course a parent suffers more. Who suffers more when a parent reprimands a kid harshly? Yeah, believe me, for sure, yeah, that's the way it works. So, okay, fine. So that's what he's saying here. If we think about it, that when we're suffering, he's suffering more, so then it gives a different, then it's a different picture. By the way, you guys are all going to be parents, Bezachem, you should know, sometimes it pays to tell children this. Meaning, sometimes it's important to tell a kid, you know, I'm not happy about this. It bothers me that I can't tell you to eat as many candies as you want. It would be much easier for me to say yes, but it's not in your interest. That's why you have a parent. That's my job, to tell you no. Our sages say when Hashem likes a person, so then He gives him challenges. And if a person accepts it lovingly, so then he will be successful and have children. That's what the Talmud says. So what does it mean a person accepts it lovingly? That's when a person realizes, if I'm suffering, it's not that he's evil, and it's not that he hates me. He's still kind and merciful, but obviously this is what's good for me now. So that's what the Gemara says in Brachos, that a person can be at a point where he is as happy when things go well as when things are bad. And here he's telling us a very deep and important concept. He says, when you can connect to the idea that everything is being done with Hashgacha, there's only one who's in charge of what happened, is happening, and will happen, and that he really wants kindness. All of creation revolves around this idea that Hashem says, I want a world of kindness. And even when you're dealing with exacting justice, where you feel like Hashem is really taking you to task, but at the root of it all there is kindness, so when a person can be on that level, accept what he's having with love. That was David HaMelech. David said, I sing. Even when I suffer, I sing in your honor, Hashem. Yeah, that's David. The Talmud tells us. The Medrash says, Eov, when he was hit, yelled. Aaron, when he was hit, was silent. David, when he was hit, sang. That's the level of David. That's a level. He could sing even when things are going bad. But if he could do that, al yedei zeh mamtik et kol hadinim umitgaleh hapnimiyut shehakol tov vechesed vezocheh lechol habrachot hamubtachot lemekabel yisurin mahava. So this is all from the Be'er Mayim Chaim. This is all a quote. Now, based on that, he has to come back to the Parah Aduma and say, okay, how is this relevant to the Parah Aduma, to the Red Heifer? But that point which he said earlier is really one of the punchlines of the book of Job. Job tells Hashem, I don't understand you. He spends a whole book with claims saying, I don't deserve this. And every time they try to tell him, maybe like this, maybe like that, he says, nope, I don't deserve it. Can't be Hashem knows what's going on here. Because I don't deserve this. And he's right. He's right. He doesn't deserve it. At the end of the book, Hashem appears to Eel. Hashem tells Job, wait a second. Do you understand when it's going to rain, when it's not going to rain? Do you understand how I take care of even the smallest egg that's laid by a bird that falls out of the nest and I ensure it won't get trampled on and how it'll... do you understand? And you have a whole few chapters about, do you understand this? Do you understand that? Do you understand the other thing? So, you understand? I know what's going on in this world. So after Hashem gives him this whole speech, Hashem asks Eov, do you get it? And Eov says, well, I don't dare say that I don't, which is another way of saying, no, I don't. Eov says, I'm too scared to ask any questions. But, and this is the punchline, this is one of the punchlines of the book. But now that you've spoken to me, Hashem, and I know that you know everything I've gone through, now I could live with it. Meaning, Eov saying, I don't really have answers. I don't know why I have to go through all this. What you've told me is there are a lot of things I don't know. That's true. But now you're asking me, now do you get it? I don't get it. What I do get is that you're on top of every iota of my life. And if you're on top of every point, so then you know what you're doing. I still don't know what you're doing. And now I can live with it. Meaning if I can connect to that point, that's what he just said. He just adds one more point to that. He says, add to that that Hashem wants what's good in the world. It's not only that he knows every iota of what's going on in our life, he also wants what's good for us. So then you say, but then why? Why does the world have to look like this? Oh, that's a good question. He didn't promise you an answer for that. That's part of the challenge of life. But this is one of the keys to be able to be happy with whatever life dishes out. Now, based on the foundations of what we said about the red heifer, we can understand this. Anytime a Jew suffers, or whenever there's exacting justice against him, may the merciful one save us. They have the same root as every concept of defilement. When a person starts focusing on the physical, on that which is crass, he's connecting to the other side. It all goes hand in hand. That's when in heaven they start dealing with him with exacting justice. That's when he starts being defiled. That's when things start going bad in his life and he starts suffering. Comes the Torah and says, let me explain to you how you purify something. You take this red heifer and you burn it. Zot chukat Torah. Hashem says, you want to know my statute? Asher tiva Hashem nemor daber bnei Yisrael v'ikru derech hapara dumat mima. Okay, so we're really midstream here, but if we continue, we'll never get to the Ein Yaakov. So I just have to take a vote. You guys want to continue with the Ntivot Shalom, or take a few minutes for the Ein Yaakov? How many people want to continue? How many people want to do Ein Yaakov? Okay. So we'll switch to Ein Yaakov and we'll pick up here.